As a buyer, we have such a responsibility to demand that the people that sell to us do it from a place of love. And when we do that, the companies that sell from love survive, and that means it makes the world a better place.
Unconventional Life, the show where I interview successful entrepreneurs, artists, creators, and thought leaders on how they earn their living in non-traditional ways. We will explore how they took the path less traveled, what their revenue model looks like, and why they are prioritizing their passion over their paycheck. I'm your host, Joel Schroeder.
Unconventional Life, welcome. This is your host, Joel Schroeder, tuning in today from Nederland, Colorado, up in the mountains. Today's guest is joining us from the other side of the globe in Malaysia. We have got Jason Campbell in the house. Jason, are you ready to take us down the path less traveled?
I am super excited to be here. Thanks for having me, Jules.
Great. Well, I love what this gentleman is up to. He is all for all things selling with love. So for those of you out there that really want to have a breakthrough in your business, breakthrough in your selling, he is the author of an upcoming book, Selling with Love, along with being the host of the Superhumans at Work podcast. And then in addition to this, I know you've spent the last year traveling the world while also working as one of the lead sales and marketing leaders for Mindvalley, which is incredible. So talk about the duality of, you know, working for someone while also working for yourself. I love that you're representing both of those things. And I know you're a growth hacker, lots of energy. I know selling is obviously a big passion of yours, along with travel and many other things. So excited to have you on the show, fill in any gaps that I might have left out, and give us a glimpse into your personal life.
Yeah, well, thank you for the wonderful introduction. And you're right, I had an interesting journey where I remember maybe when I was in my early 20s, maybe late teens, I picked up a book that I'm sure a lot of your listeners might have heard of called The 4-Hour Workweek. So Tim Ferriss's book actually gave me a lot of inspiration about how to design a remote-friendly workplace. And what was interesting is that most of the concepts shared in that book talked about how to become an entrepreneur, build your own business. And I've went through that path before. I mean, before I worked for Mindvalley, I was into real estate investing, and I did a lot of that with a few partners where we started a company. And what I realized is I really enjoy being within a work environment with a whole team. And when I decided to go back into being an employee instead of an entrepreneur, I still looked for ways that I could be remote, I could have the freedom I was looking for, and how I could design a lifestyle that would support what I wanted without necessarily needing to be an entrepreneur, which I think sometimes can be a limitation because you feel like that's the only option. But I was able to create that life separately, even within the organization. So like you said, I've had a chance to travel to Portugal, Croatia, Estonia, live there for a couple months. And I just spent the last 5 months in Miami, where I just wanted to have a chance to live in America on a holiday, quote unquote, and get a chance to just see what the American lifestyle was like. I'm originally from Canada, and I have to say, I think American lifestyle is completely underrated as how awesome it is. Like, there's so many amazing things about being in America, especially with the attitude of Americans being so pro-hustle. And it's just something that's very contagious, very admirable. And I think Americans actually don't get enough credit for that. So I will say kudos to that. And now here I am finally back in Malaysia, and it's good to be back in very, very, very warm weather.
Yeah, I love that. That's so great. And I had a friend that was recently visiting from the UK, and we were in some like healthy grocery store, and he went down the bar aisle and he was like, oh my gosh, like America is amazing. He's like, I know America because there's endless snack bars and protein bars and just like all the health food stuff. And so, yeah, it was just a fun reminder. And as American, you know, oftentimes I think I know many of us can get desensitized to our country. So I love hearing the echo from the outside. And, you know, one of the things that you talked about, you know, which what I relate to it in a lot of ways is lifestyle design. And I think many people, you know, there's this, you know, entrepreneurial dream, almost like, say, the American dream or whatever country's dream that is, that once I do X, then I will have Y, for example. Once I create my business, then I'll have a freedom-based lifestyle, and then I'll be able to earn what I want, then I'll be able to do what I want with my time, and then everything will fall into place. But I don't think it's the only formula, and I think that's something you echoed as well. And so what was the process you took in your own life for getting clear on what you wanted, you know, in your life? And then how did you work backwards? And this might have been conscious, or maybe this was, you know, in retrospect, hindsight 2020, but to actually get exactly what you wanted and doing those things first, and then looking at the formula and the structure second, where I think many of us often put that structure first, and then we almost miss the point that why we got started to begin with.
Yeah, that's a very powerful question. And, you know, I would admit that initially I feel like I was maybe consciously or unconsciously competent, as in I stumbled upon it by slight chance, but maybe, you know, being attentive still brought those opportunities to my fore mind. Is that one of the early skills I developed was actually sales. And I think that is an important thing to mention right from the start, because once you understand the power of sales, you can start being much more in control of a lot of things in your life, not only from an employment point of view, but, you know, and even personal, even in your relationships, your family relationships. And the way that I see sales is not just from, like, you know, closing the sale and collecting the money and just putting an extra zero on the contract. I really see sales as an energy exchange and the basis of all communication that make anything flow in the world. And so if you're looking to design a better lifestyle, how good are you at communicating your exact needs and desires with the people that have an impact on making that decision happen? And if you're in the workplace, in my case, I remember just speaking to my employer, and this was interesting because they had requested me to come back to the home office. This was back in 2012. So my employer says, I need you back at the headquarters. And when I stepped into the office, this was in Ottawa, Canada, a place I did not want to live at the time. I just sat in the office with him and I said, you know what, now that I'm back here, I'd really love to renegotiate my salary. And he looked at me crookedly saying, well, Jason, you still make a lot of money. You're the highest paid employee here. And I said, yeah, that's the problem. And I thought I'd help out by saying, I think I should be paid half. And so his eyebrow raised again. He's like, please keep going. And what I shortly defined after is saying, hey, let me have a trial where I'd love to work remotely and you can pay me half and I will deliver exactly the same work. And so the moment those terms were agreed, I moved to Thailand where my cost of living was 1/3. And so by doing that, I actually found myself in a more abundant position. And this was one of the ways that I used salesmanship to communicate that, hey, I knew that freedom was a big thing that I wanted, time freedom, travel freedom. And I knew that I could be very clear on what I output and I could communicate that to my employer. And that skill to be able to communicate it allowed me to have those kinds of conversation that changed my outcome, where then I did move to Thailand and I did continue working there and I still made a lot of money. And then I started outsourcing a lot of the work I do. And so for me, I think it always comes back to that freedom idea, especially freedom from constraints of location and time. And when I knew that was clear, even when I came to Mind Valley, you know, this was communicated very early on. I was the person who took the highest amount of unpaid leaves in the company so that I could work on side hustles. I could take time for myself. But every time I would come back in the workplace, the hours that I would put in would be at a high input. And this is what the company appreciated. They didn't care about when I punched in or punched out. They cared about the output. And so when I focused on the output, not the hours, they would keep track of that. My salary would increase. I wouldn't feel bad about taking time off. And I would still be able to satisfy this need for freedom.
Yeah, I love that. It's so great. And, you know, coming back to, you know, the upcoming book that you have and really what, you know, you talk about, you know, why selling is the greatest expression of love. I imagine that love, you know, starting with yourself, really. And it's like, okay, what do I need? And then getting really good and also really effective at, you know, having those conversations and ultimately backing it up with the results to really create the life and the lifestyle that you wanted. And, you know, I'm curious, like, if you could look back and if we, you know, distilled it into a formula, like, let's say someone's listening to this show and is like, all right, Jules and Jason, this sounds pretty good. Like, I got a job right now. I would love to have some more time freedom. Like, wow, I've been loving to go remote. Like, what are some of the steps that you could recommend someone to take to approach that conversation and to begin to make that transition if they're in that situation right now?
Yeah, well, depending on everybody's situation, but one of the things I'll go back to is really nurturing that idea that selling is necessarily the skill you need to develop to be able to have those more comfortable conversations and become more clear on the impact you make with the work that you do. And so there's two big concepts I lay out in the upcoming book. One of them is about the emotions that you have when it comes to selling. And there's really four levels that people approach it. And I'd love to just lay it out so people become aware of them so they know where they stand. And before they can even speak about selling from love, there's a bit of demons you need to conquer so that you can step up as yourself first with loving yourself first. And I loved how you talk about how that's the first love. But interestingly enough, I have to keep that as the last love when I lay out my framework, because most people people aren't ready to face that yet. So if
that makes sense, yeah, it's a big one, you know, self-love thing, you know, we always want to put others before us.
Hey, it's so true. And, you know, it's always a journey. This is what I love about, you know, when you become aware that self-love is usually the root cause of a lot of our problems in the life, then you realize that your lifelong journey is to refine the love within. And we could go on another conversation about that. But speaking about, for when it comes to how you communicate, how you sell, and again, just reinforcing the fact that selling is just an energy exchange between two conscious beings. And when you know what you're giving is so much more than what you're asking in return. And this is beyond just the money. This is the time, the risk consideration, the product, service, everything goes into the exchange. When you know what you're giving is more than what you're asking in return, then you can step into that place of love when you sell. And the missing ingredient is emotion. And those four levels of emotions are really important, because a lot of people are at what I call the first layer of sales emotion, which is around the guilt, the shame, the apathy. And that's really a bad place to be when it comes to trying to make the flow of abundance happen, because you're literally just blocked. And this is someone who's maybe seeing, say, oh my God, I hate sales. Sales is just a manipulative thing. Every time you find yourself that you need to sell yourself, there's a lot of that shame and guilt, those identity, imposter syndrome things come back, where you start self-sabotaging what you want before you even ask for it. You're literally just going, oh my God, if I'm asked for this, I am a bad person and I'm feeling shame and guilt. So you will actually create ways to sabotage whatever progress you're looking to do to get what you want, because you're sitting in those emotions. And this can come from a lot of different things, but primarily is the conditionings from our childhood around not getting what you want, possibly being in an interaction with a teacher figure, parent figure, where you know, look at any child, they are a natural salesperson. I mean, you and I both know when we were kids, there was probably a time where we wanted something and say, please, 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 can I get it? And you are relentless, right?
Like nonstop, right? And I even watch, you know, my friend's kids and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's a brilliant tactic.
Right. So. And, you know, forgive the parent where you get so annoyed at some point if you have a persistent little salesperson who's just not conscious there, just doing his best to get what they want. And the best way they know to communicate is constantly ask, pester. And at some point, the parent will go, hey, no means no, stop asking. And that can leave a really strong imprint on a child when in adulthood you realize, wow, when I ask too much, if I'm pushy, I will be abandoned, I will be not loved, I will be alone, and I will die. Like, our subconscious reptilian brain really goes extreme on these cases. But if you have any kind of those conditionings, it really holds you back from wanting to get what you want, because you feel like it's not going to lead you to love. It's going to make you feel abandoned. So how do you transcend that? Well, there's a lot of work, again, on the personal. If you're listening to this podcast, you're already someone that's more than likely challenging a lot of your beliefs, working towards building more. I would say big exercise is really looking at those situations in the past where that could have happened and realize that, hey, that's not you now, that's you then. Really support that inner child. Understand that your parents came from that place, and just know that when you do this, you hold yourself back from so much potential for yourself. And so you really want to look at this and be a place there you can let it go. You can evolve beyond it. And the only other way that I would see people being stuck at this level is if you've watched too many movies about, you know, Wall Street salespeople or used car salesmen taking advantage of people. And if that's a belief you have about sales, you're also never going to want to sell or ask for what you want as a salesperson, because then you need to assume an identity that you despise. And so I would highly recommend you to consider new role models when it comes to selling. People like Steve Jobs, you know, has a big vision, wants to build a product that's amazing and sells it to the world. You look at Elon Musk, wants to make humanity an interplanetary species. Everybody wants to buy the cars. They make millions of dollars before the car is even made, because he comes in and presents it in exactly the way it needs to be presented for people to absolutely buy it. And he is relentless about it and clear about why he's doing it. And so when you start looking at better role models, you can step into a second level of sales, and that can get you closer to getting what you want. So here, what I want to do is move over to level two. And at level two, you're not necessarily in a place of love yet, but you've looked at the potential that, hey, maybe sales can be a good thing. And this is where you're operating still from a place of scarcity, fear, and pride, but you're really trying to prove to yourself. And this is where most people are consciously or unconsciously competent. And this is a place where I started my sales career, where you start seeing, hey, I made a sale and that felt good. I actually collected money. Maybe I made a commission check. Or if in the workplace, you start asking for a raise and you get it, you're like, this is nice. You start asking for what you want, people respond. And you're like, wow, this is good. You're not necessarily at the place of abundance yet, but you're starting to get hints about the fact that, hey, maybe I can fix my situation. I can be great at this and I can start being in control of my life when I operate from here. And this is a beautiful place to be if you're looking to just generate a lot of abundance and make a lot of flow happen. But the problem and the risk that happens when you're at level two is you can be unaware of what you're selling, and you can be unaware of the impact of what you're selling is, or of what you're asking for, if it's truly to the benefit of the company. And so if you're operating from this level and you go to your boss and you're trying to design a remote work lifestyle like I did, but you're really doing it for manipulative reasons and your self-interest and not for the interests of the company, you might be able to get what you want, because you're going to learn the skills in sales that can actually communicate in an effective way. You might have picked up a few books like 4-Hour Workweek. And when you have that conversation, you can get what you want, but you're not doing it from the intentions of serving. You're doing it from an intention that's very selfish. And that can be okay, but there's usually going to be a motion that comes back and gets you. And I've witnessed this when I was in sales and I thought that the purpose of the sale was to make me good. I felt like I was a superstar. I felt like this was really like, oh my God, look at me. I'm a hero. I'm making sales, but I didn't care about what I was selling, at what price, and to who. And I was able to sell a lot, but then I felt really empty. And I started really drifting towards more like substance abuse to kind of numb the realization of what I was doing could have actually been negatively impacting. I wanted to choose ignorance. And that's not fun. And if you look at a lot of powerful salespeople that are doing things from a place maybe not as ethical, there seems to be a correlation with this whole substance abuse and kind of disconnect from the impact of what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to tag on that for a second, you know, I think a lot of times, you know, people have genuine, not only fear about selling, but like it also like, you know, like it's a common experience to not even feel like pride when you're selling sometimes, or to actually feel like, talked about shame, you know, and some of the levels as well. But I have so many friends that are like, I just can't, even anxiety going into a sales conversation. Then I think, you know, simultaneously, a lot of the selling we've been modeled or that we've inherited, whether it's to some of these like sales movies or like Wall Street sales or like high, you know, pressure sales tactics or car sales, it's been outdated modeling of what selling is. And also really recognizing that if you're really selling from a place of genuine, like you said, love, or really with like the best interest and intention, the person is actually better off receiving, you know, what it is that you're offering than they were without it. Like you're actually giving someone a gift. And in a lot of ways, I think it's a total rewire versus what we've inherited, whether it's been in movies or conversations of what sales is versus like what is actually true now. And, you know, in my own experience, I relate to it. The frequency of truth, like if what you're selling or what you're sharing is real for you and it's embodied and you believe in it, when you reveal it, in my experience, like it lands. Even if the person doesn't agree with it, the resonance of that truth lands, and therefore the feedback I find is congruent with that. And when there's a part of you that you're not owning, and whether you're doing it because it's like, I just want to hit another number in my books, or like, I want to knock this down, or this is just a means to an end, and there's no, you know, nothing wrong with making money with it. But when that isn't owned, I do find that's when you get a lot of this contraction and a lot of this angst and other things as well. And so I love that you're naming this explicitly. I think substance is a big part of it as well. And just like for all of our listeners, it's a really cool paradigm shift that I think we're in right now. And actually, this is another way, another place that we're innovating in real time, you know, what was to what is now. So.
And we live in a beautiful time, Jules, because I even look at how you market your events and all the retreats that you do and your coaching, and you're someone that really much expresses this idea of selling with love. And this is what's beautiful to see in the world, is that you're really starting to see that consumers are demanding it, and the ones that embrace it are successful with it. And so this is really what's happening, where the marketplace has been fed up with these negative sales experience, and we have the power to demand something better. So one of the things I that's outside a bit of this topic, but still something I think all your listeners should be aware of, is as a buyer, we have such a responsibility to demand that the people that sell to us do it from a place of love. And when we do that, the companies that sell from love survive. And that means it makes the world a better place.
So I love all that. I want to get to your last two pinpoints as well, but so much more we could be going. And unconventional lifers, I hope you're digging this as much as I am. Valeria, let's keep going on these other two points.
Well, so I'll go through the third one really quick, because this is the one that I think a lot of your listeners are probably finding themselves at, which is, again, you understand that, okay, sales is a good thing, and I don't want to do it from a place of scarcity. I want to do it from a place of abundance. I want to be fair. I want to speak my truth. And this is where you start selling from a place of rationality. You start going to the people that you're selling to and your boss. You're like, hey, listen, I This is exactly what I produce, and this is exactly how much I cost, and I think I could, and you start really preparing the data and thinking that the data is what closes the sale and is what needs to be communicated to get what you want. And this is the rational level of sales. And I have to admit, Jules, I fall into this category a lot. And I think it's always a journey of going through these different phases. Like you mentioned, some people fall to shame, then you go fear, then rational. The rational one is a trap, because if you're not aware of the impact of your sale and you're just following the blueprints that you're told without care, you can be a highly effective salesperson and you can just pray that what you're selling is not too terrible. But matter of fact, is most of the times if you're not being aware, then there's a big chance that you could slip. When you start being conscious, then you actually start having more hesitation, because you start questioning if the product you're selling truly is at the value that you assumed it to be. And now that you start communicating rationally to the mind, people feel an unconscious hesitation just because you're trying to be more honest. And now your sales numbers go down. And this is a really, really bad place to be. It's not fun, because you feel like you're doing progress, yet the numbers and abundance is going down. And this is where you're thinking, what am I doing wrong? Why is this not happening? I just really explained rationally exactly what was going on, and the person's not taking any decision, no action. And this, you're perplexed, and now you're starting feeling down, and you're like, why is this not? Now you start, you're almost at points where you're like, I don't have faith in humanity anymore, because you're really trying to speak to the mind. And unfortunately, the mind is not the one that makes decisions when it comes to a sale. But it's a very important step to have, because it's the step where you start getting a lot of self-awareness. And that is important before you start selling from love. And it's a critical step that people need to spend time on.
Yeah, absolutely. Those are good. I love all of that. And I'm curious, like, if someone was to move the needle forward in one specific way, given everything that you've said, like, what would be like the shortcut? And I know there's not always a shortcut, right? But if we could kind of like distill it down to like, hey, here's one thing at least, and even one thing that's like alive in your life right now, because I also hold the belief that when something's alive in my world, whether it's something I'm teaching or whether it's something that I'm educating on, like, I get excited by it and there's alignment present because it's alive in my life. And so I'm curious, with like all of the journey that you've been on and everything that you've shared, like, what's one thing that's alive in your life right now that you feel like really moves the needle forward in this conversation, given everything that you just talked about?
Spending time on level three. It's really being slapped in the face with humbleness. It's going through a hard time of realizing that, hey, everything I thought I knew, I actually don't know. And for me, it was the end of a relationship, which made me realize like, wow, I'm really need to do some self-work. When I started at Mind Valley, I'll share something a little personal. I kind of felt like I was this ultimate sales awesome person. And I came in and I was like, yes, I'm going to sell these amazing products that are going to fix broken people. Thank God someone like me exists. That's so perfect. That can come along and bring these amazing products to these people. And I will sell them so strongly and people will buy them and they should be grateful. I'm so cool. And obviously that's being a class A hope. I don't know if I can say this on your podcast, but honestly, I look back at who I was before, and I don't regret anything. I mean, that was all part of the journey to bring me to where I am now. But I had a moment where I had to go, okay, I got a lot of these things come back and catch me. And again, this is what happens when you sell from pride. It feels good in the moment. You're unaware. You're living it up. And there's always going to be a time where it all comes back to teach you a lesson. And to me, the lesson and something that people can take back here is just, you know, take the time to get clear and be honest with yourself on what's happening. And if you're very me-centered, you'll realize that there's going to be a debt to pay at some point. And you got to really look into being more we-centered, centered about the impact you make with others. And so be humble, and just, if you're going into this third level where you're starting being rational, start asking all the right questions about, okay, if I'm in this workplace, what am I really bringing to this company? What are the real skills that I'm bringing forward? And can I make them better? Can I refine them? Can I constantly build discipline to get better at those? And then can I communicate it better, the impact that I make? Can I honestly look at what are the things that hold me back from selling? And if I could give something prescriptive for the people that might be finding a lot of fear and hesitation around any kind of communication, I think a shortcut that people can take just to get over that hesitation, I find, is to get into a very rapid sales cycle scenario. And I would say, if you're looking to do something where you don't need to deal with any of your blocks around money, which is a completely other topic, but I would say find a charity that you believe in and look at a way that you can start doing cold calls or door to door and start making people aware of that charity and asking for funds of donation. And it's funny because I gave this challenge to a group and people freaked out. Nobody wants to be a door-to-door salesperson. But if there's a charity you truly believe in, okay, and you go to give $10 to it, if you can find yourself being able to get over the fear of rejection, which is one of the things that keep you at the lower vibrations, you get over that fear through repetition, realizing that, hey, even if the person says, no, I don't want your charity, hangs up on you, closes the door on you, you're still fine. You're not going to get burned at the stake. You're going to be okay, but your reptilian mind just freaks out. And so if you can find that charity, donate $10 so that you show that you believe in it. Then try to go to everyone that you know and just be like, hey, I go and communicate to them. I donate to this charity. Can I take 10 minutes just to explain to you what it is? And if you want to give $10, it's up to you, but I just wanted to present it to you. Do that 20 times and see how healthy you still are when you're done. That will really take away that hesitation. And then again, this is two parts. So just to recap, one is, you know, be humble, take a good look at yourself, get clear on the impact you make. And if you see that you're operating from a me-centered, you want to pivot back to being more we-centered, ask yourself the hard questions, look at the value you provide. And if it's hesitation that's holding back, find a charity, donate, go and ask other people to donate and see how you survive that.
So good. Jason Gable, everyone. Jason, let's jump into the rapid fire round. We're going to round off the show here with a series of lightning questions. Are you ready?
Yes, ma'am. Let's do it.
All right. Question number one, fill in the blank. If you really knew me, you would know what?
I'm always doubting myself to be doing the right thing. I feel like doing the good thing is so important. I'm trying to let go and surrender to knowing that there's no right or wrong and it's just being.
I love that. Next question. What is one of your practices that you do regularly that you feel sets you up for success?
Taking care of my physical body, doing hiking and signing up to Spartan races.
Yeah, I love that. Next question. What is one book that you've read recently that you feel everyone should know about?
Shoe Dog, Phil Knight. That was the story of Nike. Brilliant book about how that person just went to build Nike and it was not as conventional as you would think.
Last question, what does living the unconventional life mean to you?
Being able to live life on your own terms, have all the freedom you want, build the abundance, and travel the world in the process.
Yeah, so good. Jason Campbell, tell us, our listeners can stay in touch. As I said, I know that you are soon to be releasing your book, The of Selling with Love. And then I also know that you have your podcast, if you're in podcast, but what's the best way for people to stay in touch and follow along on your journey?
Love it. So you can find me on all the social media channels. It's Jason Mark Campbell, Mark with a C. And I'd love to hear feedback from any of the listeners. If you want to know more about what are the steps to be really selling from love, I could share more details. If there's any hesitation you have and you want more clarity, I'd be happy to help anyone. Just send me a message.
Jason, thank you so much for taking the time. Unconventional Lifers, we will throw those in the show notes, unconventionallifeshow.com. We also do a write-up on the blog. So head over there, get all the details and check that out. And we'll have more amazing content coming at you guys soon. Jason, thanks so much.
It was a pleasure. Thanks, Jules. And thanks for listening, everyone.